So I know you cover a lot of social media, and it feels like a lot of AI sort of is sneaking into social media. A lot of the AI training, we're sort of training AI with our social media, feeding all these photos to Google Photos or to Facebook. And, you know, it's nice. It's nice when someone, you know, when someone's already recognized in our Facebook photos and we don't have to look through. It's nice to find, to not have to tag all our photos. But do you feel like it's, do you ever feel like it's a little bit insidious the way all of this machine learning is being given to us through our social media?
Look, I personally like the fact that, you know, these networks are using machine learning. To me, it makes the experience better. And, you know, before I start, you know, raising my hand and saying, don't do this, like if I appreciate it day to day as a user, I'm pretty happy. Now, I will say, if you think it's insidious now, buckle your seatbelt, because these companies are have ambitions that scale way beyond where we are today. I mean, I think I know the stated hope of Facebook, and I'm pretty sure the stated hope of Google is to create machines that can think and have and are on par with human intelligence. Now, we're far away from that, but this is, you know, if they get to where they want to be, then this is really just the beginning.
And so, I mean, we really are. I mean, it's true that I use all this a lot. I enjoy the fact that Facebook knows what I want to see in my feed and what I don't want to see, but it still feels like, you know, I want to express this specific emotion. So this year, of course, we got all the range of emotions in Facebook that we could give. And, you know, when someone's dog is in the hospital, I don't want to like the photo. I want to be sad. But Facebook is using all of those intricate emotions that I'm showing to do what?
Well, I mean, it's definitely studying them, and you know, the newsfeed is run based off of AI, and a line that one of the head of Facebook's applied machine learning team, which is the people that actually put the artificial into place, and Facebook is fond of saying, is that Facebook today wouldn't exist without artificial intelligence. And, you know, I think that it's, they see it as a competitive advantage. And we're really just going to get to the point. Here, let me just give an example. You know, so last week, Facebook started testing this thing called M suggestions, where within Messenger, they're reading the AI is reading your conversations and then suggesting stickers that you'll respond to what people are telling you. Now, in order to suggest the appropriate stickers, think about how difficult the problem is for your artificial intelligence. It has to contextually understand the conversations and then suggest something that would be an appropriate response and you might actually want to use. And by the way, I have M suggestions on my phone. These stickers are pretty good. So, look, I'm not complaining, because I love using stickers in Messenger. And if it can suggest four appropriate ones to pop in there and I'll pick one, I'm happy about that. There you go. So I think that, you know, the companies are using this data in all different ways. In many ways, there's no way to really opt out. But again, I think that generally, if you're concerned about the user experience, it's only going to be more fun and exciting to use these platforms moving forward.
Yeah, so that kind of segues into another topic that we have here, which is just basically the fact that AI is reaching the hands of general users in many ways, largely, you know, partially what you're talking about with Facebook M, but digital assistants, chatbots, Google's Assistant, Apple Siri, Amazon's Alexa, Microsoft's Cortana, all of these things hinging on the benefits and the power of AI. Apparently, tech companies really want us to be talking to our devices like they're humans. Based on what we've seen this year, is this what users seem to want for themselves? Is this kind of answering a need that users have, and is it effective?
Okay, that's a good question. First, let me start by saying one of the interesting things about seeing these companies put their artificial intelligence into play into the form of user assistance or you know, just an entertainment chatbot is we're getting to see them experiment and fail in real time.
Yeah.
One of the things that these chatbots need to work is a significant amount of data. You can't just dog food entertainment chatbot in-house and get it to work the way you want it. You need massive amounts of conversations. And we saw Microsoft stumble on that when they put out Tay, their AI bot. You know, you saw it go from something that they had worked internally and no one was pushing it to the edge to, you know, something that users really broke. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the first user responses for all of us is, or not all of us, but a good chunk of the population is, let's try to break these things. It's certainly what happened with me when I had Facebook M. my number one goal was to try to break it and see how much work I could give it before it finally said mercy. And so far it's still talking to me amazingly.
Yeah.
But I think that we're seeing really interesting experiments happen. Now, whether users need it or not, look, I can tell you that if it's done right, people won't look back. Let me tell you one story and then I'll let you ask your next question. Yeah. I was on the way to the airport to get home for Thanksgiving from San Francisco, and I had a connecting flight in Philadelphia. It was raining out, and my flight from San Francisco to Philly was delayed, meaning I'd missed the flight to New York and wouldn't make it home in time to see my family. So I'm heading to the airport, and I just send M the screenshot of the Google results that say this flight's delayed. And I say, hey, can you get in touch with the airline and see if you can do something about this? And then I wrote another message, maybe get me on a direct flight from San Francisco to New York. 10 minutes later, M had booked me on a flight direct from New York, from San Francisco to New York, made it home on time. Everything worked out.
No wouldn't know
what would have happened if I would have had to, you know, made the call. And it obviously would have caused me a lot of frustration. I wouldn't have done it any other way.
Yeah.
Now I know that this is available. Is it all AI? Definitely not. But there's a chance that it could get there, and that's going to be exciting for a lot of people if that happens.
It automatically booked your flight?
Well, look, I mean, if you think about the back end of these systems right now, there's a lot of human involvement. So right. What's happening is the humans are the M is going to get the requests from users. Then it will suggest its own response. And then humans on the back end will either accept that response and push it along to a user, or they will write their own response. And when they write their own response and when they do their own action, M learns. So the idea is that if this is something that enough people ask M to do, there's a chance that Facebook could automate it, plug into American Airlines, which is the airline I flew, plug into their back end systems. And then this is something that could become standard for a lot of users. Are we a year away, 2 years, 5 years away from that? Who knows? But it clearly shows you the type of stuff that Facebook wants to do with it. And if it's able to make that happen, trust me, I'm not saying no to that. And neither are a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess the challenge there is reminding people that that is actually a possibility. That is something that they can think to do when they're in that situation. If I was in that situation, I'm not sure that I would have automatically thought, well, I'll turn to Facebook M and see if M can deal with this for me. I'd be feeling like I needed to control the situation myself. So you're putting a lot of trust and faith into the system to work for you. It's awesome that it worked out that way. Another recurring thread throughout the year has been kind of the harsh reality that sure, AI is the realization of the kind of the maturity of technology and development in many ways, but that comes at the cost of jobs as computers become more equipped to mimic and replace the work of humans. Even the White House just released a report saying that AI will result in economic growth, but at the expense of millions of lower skilled jobs. Alex, how quickly will this sort of threat to jobs materialize? Are we already starting to see this? How big a deal in the short term?
I was at a panel discussion in San Francisco about, you know, how quickly AI is going to remove jobs. And one of the things one of the panelists said that stuck with me is that most technology has a horizon, right? So you hear about a technology that's going to come, and then the horizon for when it gets released keeps getting moved back and back and back. So you think that this thing is going to come. All right, no, it's going to happen 6 months from now. No, it's going to happen a year from now, and maybe 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. The thing about AI is that the horizon just gets closer and closer and closer. You know, you say, all right, self-driving cars will happen in 7 years. No, it's going to happen in 5 years. No, it will happen in 2 years. Okay, all of a sudden you have cars driving themselves around the streets of San Francisco and Pittsburgh today. So I think that this stuff could happen really quickly. Again, AI's been through enough hype cycles that we know that as soon as you say it's going to happen tomorrow, that's probably when the field starts to go down. I think that this could happen. This could happen quickly. Yeah. You're going to see it, especially in the case of self-driving trucks. Truck drivers are like the truck driving is the number one occupation in, I think, over 20 states in the United States. So that's going to be a big deal if you can start to automate that. What are those truck drivers going to do? We also saw Amazon Go, which is a supermarket that supposedly uses AI to check you out. Well, there's millions of jobs. I think it's the number one employer, again, across many states and maybe even the U.S., retail salespeople. So if you think about that, if AI can check you out that way, that's going to cause another wave of major job loss. And everybody says this is just part of the history of economics. When you have technology that comes in and automates jobs, then the economy might have short-term pain, but long-term gain, everything necessarily adjusts. This is pretty unprecedented technology. You know, it's not like anything that came before it. So for me personally, I'm sort of thinking, well, you know, I know what history tells us, but how can you really be sure here? And I don't have a good answer for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I wish I had a degree in economics at this point, too, because it really feels like, you know, at one point we moved from an agrarian society to an industrial society, and now we're moving from an industrial society to an information society. So it's not just about automating jobs. It's a completely different society that we're going to be living in. And, you know, when we talked about Amazon Go, one of the things that we brought up was not just the fact that some, you know, grocery checkers would be losing their jobs, because for sure that's going to happen, but also the idea that you would maybe need a smartphone to be able to shop in this grocery store, just like the economic level of, you know, the haves and have nots. And I feel like I see that more and more with AI. Like, it's awesome that you could, you know, get your flight booked, you know, in your smartphone. And I also, part of me wonders whether they know that you're testing, you know, you're part of a beta test in this, and they know, well, if we get Alex Kantrowitz from BuzzFeed on that plane, like, he's going to talk about it on BuzzFeed, and it's going to be, you know, but whether all of that AI will be available across the world, and it won't just be a digital divide, but it'll be a little bit of an AI divide.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I will say that, like, I find this all very interesting because my degree is in labor relations, which is something I never thought would actually start to come into play as a tech reporter. But now it's becoming more and more important in terms of whether there's going to be an AI divide. Look, I think that all technology is going to create, it's going to shake up the economy in a way and society. And start to mess with the structure. We already know that automation, globalization, which has largely happened on the back of the internet, has led to an increase in income inequality across the world. So I think you can't discount that. The one thing I will say is that for many people, Facebook is the internet. Many people across the world, their view of the internet is Facebook, for better or for worse. And so if you're starting to see these developments happen inside Facebook, it actually might end up, you know, being in the hands of the most people possible, just because of how widely used it is.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, you, and I think this is kind of the last question, then we can let you go. You recently tweeted, I think it was last night even, that in 2017, artificial
tweets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I saw this. I wanted to ask you about it. Artificial intelligence, you said, will start showing itself in big ways in the stuff that we use every day. And I think throughout the course of this interview, you talked a little bit about. But explain your thinking behind this tweet and what you expect to see in 2017.
Yeah, you know, I'm basing that off of things like M-Suggestions and Google Assistant, which you'd imagine is going to make its way into more products than just Google Allo, which is kind of this, you know, backwater messaging app that nobody uses. Mm-hmm. I think that as we start to see, artificial intelligence make its way into our messaging apps specifically, it's going to become more apparent to people than it was before. That's what I thought. I wrote that tweet a day after I had M-Suggestions start popping into my conversations on Messenger. And yeah, I have M, but when I start using M-Suggestions, it became way more apparent that this thing is going to, really be, present in ways that it wasn't before. So add the AI's presence in messaging apps to self-driving cars and trucks, which will likely expand big time in 2017. And all of a sudden, it's going to go from abstract to concrete for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. Going from this like weird kind of behind the scenes technology that supposedly is doing a lot of things to something that you rely on to a certain degree or you interact with. And we've already seen a lot of that in 2016 with the digital assistants and everything like that. But yeah, more of an awareness around what exactly is providing that benefit to you as a user.